Okay.
They see me rolling.
Hating. Welcome to episode 19 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Brian Leithhead, and it has been not a nice day. If I were a card, I'd be the struggling copter.
Oh, gosh. And this is your co-host, Mike Coyle, and I really identify with Ayara, first of Lochvane. I like to drink. I deserve royalty. And just my presence is pretty much draining to most people.
Ah! Do you sacrifice other people to draw cards?
Only when they're not looking.
Cool.
Please listen carefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't come back because they have undying. Ooh.
I just put my cat in the oven and then everything's fine.
Cut it out. Anyway, this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. What's on? And as always, we like to thank our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you, and we're starting to get a lot more engagement, and we couldn't be more happier. What do we got on the agenda today, Mike Coyle?
Today on the agenda, we've got our weekly recap of the Mythic Championship 5 that just happened over the weekend.
MCV!
We have a B&R update. Things actually happened. That's cool.
And yes.
We've got a brand new format from Wizards of the Coast called Pioneer.
Would you say we're on the frontier of the format?
I think we're Manifest Destiny in this one. And then we are going to talk about the Great Eldraine Bake-Off that happened.
Great. So MCV, as maybe you would call, just happened this past weekend, and it was won by Javier Dominguez playing Gruul Aggro.
Yeah, just pretty surprising given, you know, what the meta was going into this tournament.
Yeah, it was, 40% was some form of Golos deck?
Yeah, it's just Golos all over the place.
Okay. It looks like we had pretty diverse top eight, actually. Yeah. Mono Red was played by Li Shi Tian. We had a Mardu Knights deck, Boros Aggro, a couple Gruul Aggro decks there?
Just the one Gruul Aggro. Simic Food actually saw a lot of, it was the most overwhelming in the top eight, which to me was surprising with how rampant Golos was. And
I see what you did there.
Only one Golos deck made it to the top eight, though. It also made it to the finals, but. You
know. Oh, yeah. Still got banned.
So, I know the Gruul Aggro deck, you know, obviously the aggro format or the aggro deck type was doing pretty well against some of these late game archetypes.
Right. You know, a deck that doesn't do very much early on is definitely going to suffer against, you know, decks that go turn one, turn two, turn three threats and just attack you, right?
Absolutely. And then with the top end of Embercleave coming in.
A surprise Embercleave sometimes.
Yeah, no one. I didn't see that coming. I don't know.
Would you say it was a flash to you?
It was, but not quite in the pan. I think we're going to be seeing this flash over and over again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Actually, Embercleave spiked quite a bit over the weekend. It was right before the weekend. It was about maybe $3-4 card, and it shot up to as much as I think I saw in Goldfish, about $20.
Yeah.
It's kind of settling around 12 to 15 right now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. We'll talk about the B&R update in a little bit. With Field of the Dead getting banned, whether the meta is going to shift more aggro or if it's going to stay late mid game,
right.
More answers to aggro. I'm not really sure. But like the biggest deck that we saw in the top eight was Simic Food focused around Oko, Thief of Crowns, something that dodged the ban.
Somehow, but you know, that's for different train of thought. That card actually after the banning also spiked quite a bit to as much as $100 and you know mid price on TCG player. I think it's kind of settling around $60 right now, but people just keep buying that card up. It is a very powerful planeswalker.
It is now the most expensive card in the new Pioneer format above Ugin the Spirit Dragon.
This is true. Yeah. Which we'll actually talk about in a little bit. But Javier Dominguez taking down yet another Mythic Championship. He actually just had a card from Eldraine that was modeled after him called Fervent Champion. Would you say he's quite fervent again? I don't even know what fervent means, so.
I need a dictionary check on that.
Una momento, por favor.
Can you just be our
displaying a passionate intensity?
Oh, I mean, although, you know, his picture on the Mythic Championship of him holding up the trophy does not look intense to me whatsoever. He's just like, I got another one.
Well, look at that. He just knocks the other one off with it. He looks like, it looks more like a sign of relief that just long weekend is over in the books.
But, probably.
So kind of moving on a little bit to the next topic, was the BNR update.
Yeah.
Do you care to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So we saw two bannings, no unbannings in this BNR. In the standard format, we saw the land card, Field of the Dead banned, a big staple in the Golos decks. And in Pauper, we saw Arkham's Astrolabe banned. So let's start with Field of the Dead.
Yeah, what are you... So my thoughts are that was that necessarily the only card that should have been banned? Or was it just a associated offender, if you will, or guilty by association?
I think this card needed to be banned. There's not a whole lot of land answers currently in standard. The only one I can think of right now, honestly, is like Agent of Treachery. I think can steal your lands.
Steal your land, yeah. Steal your girl.
Which is also played in the sideboard of Golos decks.
Ooh, maybe for that reason.
Yeah, I think it is for that reason.
Field of the Dead, I mean, ever since it was printed, was, you know, kind of made broken at the time by, like, Scapeshift. Yeah. And, you know, people couldn't play it, really play around it, because it was also played in the same deck as Teferi, the Great Reveler, you know, which stopped people from playing cards. They could only play them at sorcery speed.
Right.
So it is definitely a card that was meant to be broken. I myself have broken it several times in EDH, but that was obviously a different format.
Gross.
Yeah. More like Golos.
Oh, Golos.
But I don't know. I think it's overall better for the format. You know, it showed just how much... how less of a diverse feel that they had at the Pro Tour, I'm sorry, Mythic Championship,
yeah.
Because 42% was decks that were based around and meant to break Field of the Dead. But I think going forward, it'll make it standard much healthier.
I think I agree with that to a point.
Oh, for sure.
In that the like 28% decks playing Oko.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to see whether or not, what, in your opinion, do you think Oko goes up, or do you think people will go, oh, now I can just focus my deck to kill Oko?
Well, I mean, Gruul Aggro did a pretty good job of handling Oko.
True.
I don't know. I didn't personally watch, and I don't necessarily know how the matchup goes, but I would assume they can just sometimes play around Oko, or if they really do need to get rid of it, they can just, you know, Embercleave or Questing Beast.
Questing Beast seems to be, in my opinion, the best answer for that. I mean, they have the Colors Matters removal spells right now in the format from the latest core set, like Fry. However, yep. Fry only does 5 damage, and right. Oko immediately gets to 6.
It could go to 5. It could.
Yeah.
if you want to, immediately make an elk.
Turn 2, I'm going to make an elk.
Yeah, turn your goose into an elk.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm sure that's what you want to do.
That's what we all want to be doing. Let's talk. But no, obviously it would go to 6, and Fry is only 5.
So. That's right.
So, awkward.
So, I mean, Oko mirror matchups are probably fine. I mean, obviously, they're fine. Those are mirror matchups.
Whoever casts Hydroid Crisis for X equals whatever, right?
Yeah. Now, I currently am playing Simic Flash still, which seems like a fringe deck. However, I liked it a lot against those like late game. Like, I didn't have a problem against Field of the Dead decks.
Yeah. I was also the same, but a lot of people, just because of budgetary reasons, were also just playstyle, were playing mono red, which is typically true. Not a good matchup for Simic Flash, just because most of your creatures are, you know, X2 toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not good against a field full of shocks. But
stupid Chandra's Phoenix thing.
Yeah, right. And Cavalcade of Calamity is one heck of a magic card.
It sure is.
Especially when you have Chandra Spitfire.
I hate Chandra Spitfire. When I see that card, I just want to scoop.
Yeah. Well, my opponent on Arena the other day didn't understand how the math worked with Calamity and Chandra Spitfire. So I'm like, they're like, okay, I'm at five. I'm safe. I'm like, okay, well, take five. Yeah. So
swing you and you die.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But it obviously Wizards will keep an eye out on the format because the Standard is their most premier and probably one of their most popular, if not their most popular format. So they want to keep it as healthy as possible and as many players, continuing to play. So if Elko becomes a problem, they'll probably take action against it. So
take bets today. Is Elko getting banned?
If the format trend continue like it is, yeah, I think he will get banned.
I think so, too.
But I think that's also just because they don't want to ban a Gilded Goose.
You can't ban Gilded Goose. He goes,
I hate you.
Plus, they have an Untitled Goose game out right now. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
It can't be.
Wizard secret background that project.
So the other banning that we saw was in Popper, which was Arkham's Astrolabe, the card played in every Popper deck.
Surprisingly, not played in Boggles.
Interesting.
Why? I wonder why. Oh, wait, because it's in Tremendous. I believe in their justification, it was just played in, I think it was something like over 75% of every deck in the meta.
Yeah.
It frees up, and they wanted certain strategies were making benefit out of it more than others. But I'll be honest, I personally didn't feel that was the card that needed to be banned in Popper.
Right.
I think it was Ephemerate. But again, that's just a personal opinion. I think that was the worst offender out of Modern Horizons. Astrolabe actually gave something in Popper that isn't too common, and that's Manafix.
Yeah.
But that card also single-handedly was driving up the prices of snow-covered lands, so
that's true.
I guess the banning helps with that economy, if that's any consolation for some folks out there. But they're hoping that many more decks will reemerge in the Popper format and keep that nice and healthy.
Yeah, I'm surprised at the reemergence of decks in that. So I've never played a game of Popper before in my life. I know some of the archetypes, but for me, like you said, the color fixing in it, to me, I thought would open up the meta into a lot of different decks.
Yeah.
But I guess if it is making some decks just better, and then maybe that's limiting the format.
I personally think that Ephemerate was, I've only played a few games of Popper. I am not nearly nowhere a expert on the format, but from what I've read on forums, Reddit, Twitter, all that stuff, people have said that Ephemerate should have been banned just because it kind of puts decks like the Tron over the top because it can recur Denroven Horror, and that just, really puts Tron on a whole different level. Also opens up different strategies and makes them a little bit more unfair, like Core Skyfisher is a good card all of a sudden, apparently, because he can just keep bouncing certain cards and different strategies. So
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. When you say it out loud, right?
Any chance you can get to hit Tron, no matter what format you're in, I think you should do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was not the only update that Wizards gave us on Monday. I mean, that was a pretty big update.
That was.
But something that kind of flew under the radar, in my opinion, just because I think people are still kind of recovering from it, and I think they kind of slid it in to kind of buff the banning a little bit, was announcing a new format.
Yeah, they just smack you in the face with a brand new format.
We're banning something on the most popular format, but here's another one. Yeah, here's a different format.
Here's another format for you to brew. It's called Pioneer. And it's a format that goes from modern day, so Throne of Eldraine, all the way back to Return of Ravnica.
Return of Ravnica.
Andy's favorite plane.
Return?
Yeah, Return is his favorite plane. So, like, Return to Phyrex. Nope, that's New Phyrexia. I'm new to this, okay? I started with Almond Cat. That's the Almond best plane. Cat.
You didn't start with Return? Return to Andy?
I can't wait for Return to Almond Cat.
If that even happens, where it's just Hazoret hanging out in the desert with everybody.
It's the only one left. One arm. No spear.
Yeah, right.
Just limping around.
At least I got all my people with me.
So the Pioneer format.
Yeah, in our little group text, as I'm sure it happens with many social circles within, you know, the game of Magic the Gathering, people were just kind of reminiscing about what decks could be good, and it seemed like it was, at least for Andy and I, it was just reminiscing about old standard decks that we used to play in all the time. I know you're still, I mean, obviously not new to the game, but you're a newer player, so what... In your experience, what do you think would be good in a format, or what would you want to play in this format?
Well, when I first started playing Standard, I was getting stomped by Aetherworks Marvel.
Fair enough.
And I was like, man, Aetherworks Marvel, that seems cool, but that probably isn't that great. And then, oh, it's really good. It's going to work, man. That thing. Energy? Energy is a broken... Energy is broken.
Turns out getting a free resource is a really good thing.
And I've heard this argument before, and I think I agree with it, that Magic the Gather, like Wizards of the Coast, has a difficult time balancing a new resource, whether that's using your graveyard as a resource or energy.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So, like, every time they bring something, I was surprised to see On an Adventure not be completely broken.
Yeah.
Because it's another... You can't touch this card, and it's like just an extra card in my hand.
Right, you get a spell and then a creature on top of it.
So either they're learning, or it's just gonna break in the future.
Or maybe they're just hoping that no one figures it out that some of these mechanics can be broken and will be broken.
That's probably true.
But I'm really excited for what this format brings. Obviously, it was from sets and. You know, standard blocks during their most the most popular height of Magic, which was probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, Magic is still thriving and very, very much popular now, but it's seen a little bit decline in players. I think Arena brought some of those players back, and I think they're hoping that they're bringing back more of those players back to play this format of standard decks that of past that they and update it with newer cards. So.
Now, when they first announced this format, I thought, this is just going to be another one of those formats where they're like, hey, it's a thing, and we made rule set for it, and then just, like, die. And then it's like, no, it's going to be the main event.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first Pro Tour, which is the paper, is going to be the first Pro Tour of 2020 in February. I think they're saying 14th and 15th. I'll have to double-check that. But they're actually starting a PTQ season, I think, as early as next month.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. I mean, hopefully folks have these cards still sitting in their bulk box or their collections in their closet somewhere.
Yeah, go get your Jace Vryn's Prodigies that are up to $50 a piece again.
Liliana, the last hope, is something like $45 now.
Yeah, glad I bought mine for my zombie EDH deck.
glad I have one for my Ayara deck, which is not... a zombie tribal deck, but masks as one because it's just a bunch of tokens.
Oh yeah, no, that works.
That checks out. What if you were to play this format? I don't know if you have any interest in it, but what would you want to play? If you had an infinite card pool.
If I had an infinite card pool, I mean, I like combo decks. A deck that I tried out when Shadows Over Innistrad was still in Standard, but Hour of Devastation was also out. I was playing Throne of the God Pharaoh, not Throne of the God Pharaoh, God Pharaoh's Gift.
GPG, yeah, you know me.
I was trying God Pharaoh's Gift out, and then someone broke it in a blue-white version. Not broke it, it wasn't the best deck, but it was competitive.
It was pretty good.
The one I played was not as good as that one. But I had a lot of fun comboing with the Combat Celebrant, like infinite turns kind of deal. So I would try to play some sort of combo deck. They said some brews online are saying GPG might be a fringe thing. I think it's going to be Aetherworks Marvel, Saheeli combo. I would hate to play in the format and just get like destroyed by those decks. So I'd probably just go net deck one of those, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's fair.
What about you?
Reliving, I guess, past standard glory, I would probably want to try and brew something mono black with like gray merchant of Asphodel and
hell yeah,
and heck yeah, and Night Vale Spectre, or even I guess even Abzan midrange with like Siege Rhino. That card's spiking again. It's good to see the old Rhino back in action.
Now Siege Rhino will be a little bit tougher because one thing we didn't talk about yet is they already have bannings for this format. The fetch lands.
You're right. So
a three-color Siege Rhino is going to be harder to get out in this format.
This is true. But luckily for us in this format, unlike what we had in Frontier, which was a format that started with Magic Origins and went to Present, which was at the time Aether Revolt, that size card pool kept the fetch lands in play, but Wizards has since decided to ban it based for monetary value mostly, and just because it kind of opens up, I mean, let's be honest, there are so many different fetch lands, I'm sorry dual lands in this format that you can play
for sure.
They have, you know, five of the fast lands from Kaladesh, you have actually all 10 check lands from Dominaria, mm-hmm. and Ixalan. Obviously, and then the 10 shock lands, and then you also have battle lands, lands from Shadows Over Innistrad, yeah. And is there one more? Oh, the Amonkhet cycle lands.
Did you mention the Skylands already?
Oh, you're right. I didn't. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention the Skyland, the temples.
Yeah.
Temples from Theros. So there are several different check lands. I'm sorry, dual lands to pick from.
Yep.
So any color combination is viable. It might be a little bit slower than it would be obviously in, you know, Eternal formats or even Modern. Right. And I'm happy to see that the response for the format has been mostly positive, and even some of my friends who haven't played in several years are starting to brew decks for this format. So
it does seem like it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, not having to have the fetch lands, maybe that is a price point, but I'm still going to have to buy cards. And everything is spiking. It's in the combo decks.
Yeah, but I think that's just, people just want the cards now, don't have to wait, and then the fear of missing out somehow. Like, I work for an LGS, and we have literally hundreds of these different cards. So, like, if you want to play, come play at my shop, because we have tons of these cards, and we're going to try and keep the support for the format as long as possible, as, you know, much as Wizards is, so we want to see people playing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been to a game shop, to the two game shops that I frequent, to even talk about the Pioneer format yet, so I'm going to have to bring that up.
Dun, 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 dun!
We'll see how much support it's going to get.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, lots of support. Yeah. Okay, and then what's our next topic?
The next topic on our agenda is the Great Eldraine Bake Off. So they announced the winners. I know you and Andy had a lot of fun making
a pie.
Yeah, what was it called?
Happily Ever After.
You should win just based on that title.
Yeah. I came up with that name. I was so happy. I contributed.
So, they Wizards of the Coast announced the winners. There's 10 winners in total. We were just going to go over the top three. Unfortunately, Happily Ever After did not make the top 10.
Wow.
And neither did Chef Petro's. Dish.
Yeah, that like okay, like his did
10
you
course meal?
Yeah, did you see what he's like? I'm gonna take this afternoon and just make this. I'm like, you can make that much food in that little time, and wow,
this
like,
is a job.
You should. Fair. I told him to take a pose as like Salt Bae, where it's just like salt in like the pork or something. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. I was like, all right, that's why you didn't win, Petro.
Yeah, you were telling that. So, I wanted to quickly go over the top three. So I'll go from third place to first. In third place, we have Nicole Van Meter with Lyndon the Gingerbread Queen. It's a gingerbread layer cake and swish.
Swish, swish, bish.
I'm bad with these words that are not typically in English. Hold on here, Brian. We're going to give this to Ryan. No, we're going to give it to Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan.
Producer Ryan, we're going to have him.
Producer Ryan, can you go through third place and then scroll down to first place and tell us what you think?
Don't swipe left. Swipe down.
Oh, yeah. Don't go through the pictures either. Where are you going? I see you swiping like all over the place. It was on the picture.
He just went to Tinder on your phone.
Oh, it's swipe right, crew. All the way. Can I have my phone back?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, my God. What did you... Video player for Android? What
the... You want to timestamp that?
So...
Mark that. I'm sorry.
Swiss meringue.
Meringue woo.
So, okay. Third place of the Great Alderaan Bake Off is Nicole Van Meter.
What did Miss Nicole do?
She made Linden the gingerbread queen, which is a gingerbread layer cake and Swiss
meringue
buttercream adorned with gingerbread figure and fondant. What do you think about this, Producer Ryan? This gingerbread cake?
Pretty good.
Wow, it's pretty good. This is pretty good gingerbread cake.
We're killing the game right now.
Yeah, we're doing real good. Second place in the
second place.
First not winner, because first loser is just too mean.
Well, if you ain't first, you're last.
And I'm pretty sure everyone in this top 10 got something like significant from Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, Andy would know. I don't know. I'm not a good host.
I'm sorry, Andy. Second place.
I would want us to edit Andy's laugh at this point just to cover up, because he's probably going to be steaming mad.
Second place in the Great Alderaan Bake Off, baked by Timothy Hellenbrand, is the Enchanted Carriage Cake.
Ooh.
If this isn't a carrot cake, I'm going to be a little disappointed. Dome cake with chocolate frosting. I'm a little disappointed. Dome cake with chocolate frosting, fondant, and Rice Krispies. It's like the carriage from Cinderella. Except it's a card, and it's not from actually Cinderella.
Okay, y'all can't say that. I don't want to get sued.
It's Cinderella? We're going to get sued by the Grimm's fairy tale
people? Yeah.
Isn't that like past...
Or like Disney?
Does Disney own Cinderella? Or do they own like the Disney movie Cinderella?
Yes.
What? I thought about a spinoff for Cinderella. This is going to be a little bit... Wait, Producer Ryan, what did you think? Okay. So I thought about a Cinderella. Yeah, we didn't hear you over the microphone, but I heard you in real life. Does that count?
Also pretty good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I thought about a spinoff from the Cinderella. So you know how Cinderella herself is the stepchild, not even, is it stepchild?
Yeah.
That's just kind of like left behind on everything. You know how there are mice that get turned into the horses that pull the carriage?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a story from the perspective of the mouse stepchild that got left behind in the Cinderella story.
Wait, wasn't it Gus Gus? Was that the fat one?
I have no idea.
Happy birthday, Cinderella.
He got left behind? He didn't just get like turned into the carriage itself and not a horse?
Yeah, I think that was Gus Gus. I just remember that because his name is Gus Gus.
Is that the one where there's that picture online that's lewd, that where really it's a pearl necklace, but it doesn't look like a pearl necklace? Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're alluding to.
His name is Gus Gus. Am I going to be able to find it if I Google search Gus Gus?
I would hope so. Hopefully Disney hasn't taken that away from us.
This is another cut moment.
Already writing down.
Yeah, that's Gus Gus.
This is what I was alluding to. Oh, okay. have you seen this meme before?
I had not.
Okay, now you have.
This is me whenever I eat cake.
Yay. Not to keep going or to keep going on this Great Alderaan Bake Off countdown to number one. Brought to you by your host, Casey Kasem.
Numero uno.
First place, which is Kathy Hay, or Kathy Hay.
Kathy Hay.
Is Kentrith's Kitchen's Venison Pie. It is a venison, beef, and pork belly pie with fresh herbs, vegetable medley, and Gruyere. Which, and the pie itself looks like the baked into a pie art, where it's like the frowny face pie.
Yeah, that's a food token, right?
Oh, you're right. It's
food token. Yeah, it's a meat food token.
It's not baked into a pie. That's completely
no. Off. That one's like where the finger's sticking out, right?
Yeah, where it's like,
yeah, that one's creepy.
That's not fully baked in.
Somebody, the center of that's still a little raw.
Half baked into a
pie. I always do that with lasagna. I don't know how, even in a microwave.
Well, you're not supposed to bake lasagna in a microwave.
Oh, I got. I gotta go, guys. I left my
lasagna in the microwave,
and then I left another piece in a crock pot. Bon appetit.
Bone apple teeth. Absolutely. Well, congratulations to all the winners of the Great Eldorain Bake Off, especially our top three. You guys did a great job. It was a lot of fun. I like baking myself, but I didn't get into this, and I kind of regret it.
Yeah, this was actually a pretty fun promotion that they did. I'm glad that they did this. It was a great community interaction, and you know, we got to do something for a podcast and just, you know, get to hang out and have fun. So it was good. Good time.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to our final segment of the day.
Dun, 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 dun.
So Brian and I were talking about what we wanted to do for this segment, and I had mentioned, remember that one day in our group chat when I just started listing off thing after thing after thing, and it just sounded like I was talking about nonsense?
No, I knew what you were talking about. Andy is just like, I'm so confused.
Magic the Gathering. Hot takes.
Wait, what about hotcakes?
Hotcakes?
Wait, meat pie, hot cakes, boom, it sells itself. Eldrain 2.
I mean, we even talked about pie O'Neill format today.
I hate you so much.
Yay!
Yay, we did it. Would you like to go first in this hot take segment?
I would love to go first in this hot takes. Hot take, Fatal Push shouldn't kill flying creatures. That's ridiculous. Mm. You're just pushing them. They have wings. The art signifies them getting pushed off of a building. They fly away.
But what if the bird doesn't know when to flap its wings in time and it's upside down and boom, fatal push?
It should probably be down already then.
Well, they say that the Great Henge is great, but it's not so great when you don't have any creatures.
Oh my gosh.
It costs 9 mana.
That's a lot of mana. Doesn't it also like get turned into an elk?
It can.
Yeah.
Yes. It just blew my mind. Yeah, right,
it's
now
pretty bad when it's just an elk.
No tapping, gain two, it's just an elk.
Hot take, Narset should give her spark back. She was better as a creature.
Oh yeah,
I said that.
No, you did.
Oh yeah.
Bolt a bird is so 2012. To update that, let's just update it to Juice the Goose.
Juice.
The juice is loose and it hit the goose.
So I actually have one related to that, so I'm going to skip my next one just to go straight into it. Right. Gilded Goose is a strictly better Birds of Paradise. Strictly against burn. You get a food, you gain life.
Yeah.
Even if you bolt the bird, I mean, you gain some life.
Lays an egg, you get to use that to gain life.
Lay an egg, juice the goose.
Gain two.
Win the game.
It's true. Grumgully the Generous is not so generous. He's just creepy. I don't know if you've actually seen his picture. It's a little weird.
I don't think I have. Which one is this?
He is the he's red and green, and then
whenever
a non-human creature enters the battlefield under your control, you put a 1/1 counter on that, and he's a 2/2. Yeah, that picture is so creepy. He looks so happy to be that generous, but he looks guilty.
But he also just hates humans.
True.
Yeah. Have you read any of the Eldraine story at all or anything?
I read up on Garrick, because Garrick's my favorite planeswalker.
Okay.
But that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the war between humans. No, I mean Garrick. I mean, he's there.
Yeah. He's okay. Like, I guess he's there.
Hot take, Amonkhet has proof pyramid schemes do work.
It's true. Yeah. Nicol Bolas is the pyramid master.
He wins.
Yeah. In the Citadel. over pyramids.
But then he loses later, though. Spoiler.
We don't talk about that. We're not even through the War of the Spark prequel.
That's true. He could be fine and escape. And
that'd Which be... Andy will get to when he returns next week.
Return to Andy Florey.
Andrew Florey. Hot take. Once upon a time, I spent a lot of money and time getting all four cards for that playset.
Yeah, no kidding.
$12 is a lot for a card.
What are you playing it in?
Gen Death Shadow in Modern.
Oh.
Yeah, free spell. Free Street Race.
That is a free spell. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
No.
Hot take, mono black is the best color combination in Magic the Gathering.
You told me that earlier, and I hate you for that.
It really
is. I don't hate you. That's actually pretty genius.
Then you started telling me about all the mono black decks you want to build in Pioneer. I was like, yes. I
didn't know Give this me existed. More. Gray Merchant.
Gary's the best.
He is the best. Hot take, Order of Midnight is not a magic card, but what I call when I get a snack after dark.
I call that regret.
I'll get that meat pie that got first place out of the fridge.
Is it when you go to Taco Bell at 1 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and there is a line that's seven cars long, that way you have seven cars worth of orders to regret the decision enough to just drive away, and you don't, that's when you know you have a problem.
That was me all the time when I was 350 pounds.
Yeah, I was there too.
I was waiting a long time at after midnight at Taco Bell. Yeah. I wouldn't change that for the world. You know what? No regrets. No regrets. Not even a letter.
I'm gonna say I regret that.
Really?
I regret my 2 a.m. Taco Bell runs.
Oh, I wasn't out that late. I was in bed by then because I already finished my 1 o'clock Taco Bell.
But then how do you have time for 6 a.m. Taco Bell?
Oh, wait, are they open at 6 a.m.?
I don't know. They're open in the morning. They got breakfast now.
It's true.
Hot take, Taco Bell's breakfast is good.
We might just lose listeners for that alone.
Real hot take. Attacking is the worst way to win a game of Magic the Gathering. I hate doing it. I don't swing. So Andy built a Goad EDH deck.
Oh, the ability goad?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like it because I don't want to swing with my creatures.
You don't want to swing with your She-Ray?
She-Ray's
She's
so good.
Caretaker. Hot take, Gedwick the Wizened is only wise once.
And then what?
You can't blink him and draw more cards.
Oh, that's true. Then he's a 3 CMC creature.
Yeah. He's a blue meanie.
What is a blue meanie? That's a thing, right?
I know it's Panini, don't be a meanie. Meanie.
Hey, Panini.
Don't be a meanie. So what'd you tell?
Hot take. No matter the format, blue-white control is the worst. I hate it.
Andy would disagree with you.
I know. I play against this all the time.
Agreed. Hot take. Why does something called Harmonious Archon make other creatures bigger?
Well, he makes them the same though, right? But he does make things bigger. But wouldn't it be equal too?
Archon? Equalist?
It should be Equality Archon. Equality Ekron.
That would be called socialism, and we will not talk about that this podcast.
This podcast is now shift to a political podcast. Yeah.
No association whatsoever.
Hot take, Hogak wasn't broken.
Oh,
give me my Hogak deck back.
Wait. He's just guilty by association, like Golgari Grave Troll, right?
It's Stitcher Supplier. Stitcher Supplier is so broken.
But how can you? But hold on. Golgari Grave Troll gets out of the clinker, unbanned, and then he gets paired with people like Thug and Imp. And then he gets arrested again. He's back in the clinker.
Yeah.
Hang around bad folks like that. It's just like Hogak. Producer Ryan knows all about Hogak because we talked about him for like 6 months.
Rest in peace, Hogak.
Rest in peace beats Hogak. You don't even need it then.
I just meant rest in peace.
No, that's okay, a card.
I'm now understanding that. Didn't know that to begin with.
I guess if you mention enough things around somebody, they'll start getting the gist.
Hold on, say any phrase. Like, that's a card.
What do you mean, the card?
Sure.
Okay.
It probably is. In some unset. What do you mean?
Okay.
Didn't say please is a card. There's a lot of stuff. Wait, that's a card now. Didn't say please is a card.
Is a card?
It's a counter spell.
Is it Happily good? Ever after is on
no,
a card.
No, it's not very good.
Happily ever after is on a card. It should be. But happily ever after is.
That's true. I mean, it works. Happily ever after can work too.
I guess.
And people get confused and like, name a card. You're like, nothing ever after. Like, which one did you name? Both.
Wait, what?
I win.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Ah, hot take. Does Shimmer Dragon still light up if you have less than 4 artifacts? Or are batteries not included?
Put in batteries. Then it shimmers?
Put 4 AA batteries. He shines up, shines bright like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Rihanna, please sponsor us.
Oh, that would be the best.
Wait, what's her clothing line called?
Fenty?
Fenty, yes.
Thank you.
Not like Ryan. Venti, like the size drink at Starbucks. Fenty. Savage Fenty. That's it.
How many different languages can you order coffees at Starbucks?
Well, according to that Paul Rudd movie, there's Venti, which is Italian for 20.
Yep.
There's Grande, which is Spanish for large, right?
Yep. And then there's Tall.
Yeah, I guess that's 3.
There might be more.
Hopefully.
I'm just going to go there.
Wait, what happens if you go to like Japan and order coffee?
Do they have Starbucks in Japan?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But their sizes are not venti. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. What's our next second? What's our next hot take?
Hot take. Burn.
Sizzling. Ren's like, I'm done after this.
He's done. Sorry, Andy. We killed the podcast.
Hot take, Keeper of Fables is not a people person.
What is he?
It's whenever a non-human creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card, and it's a cat.
That's like that, the beast card?
What Questing beast?
No, not that one. The other one. The one that makes a 1/1 human. It's an adventure card.
Oh, Lovestruck Beast?
Lovestruck Beast. If Lovestruck
Beauty
Beast...
and the Beast.
If Lovestruck Beast itself becomes a 1/1, it counts itself because, and I quote, it learns to love itself.
Can I learn to love again?
I don't have any more hot takes of you.
Have All right, more. If Questing Beast were a real person, Do you think while driving a questing beast quests and drives?
You should never quest and drive.
You also shouldn't text and drive.
That's true.
But do you map quest and drive?
I text and drive. No, I shouldn't even say that. Dope. I work for a seat. I'm an engineer. I work for a seatbelt company. And texting and driving technically puts me in business, but don't do it.
And business is a booming.
Business is a booming. but seriously, don't do it.
Yeah, please don't. That was not an endorsement. That was
also, you're welcome. I saved your life.
He's personally saved 7 lives this week, just today alone.
Just today.
Yeah.
At work. Personally. It had nothing to do with like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, just me personally. Right. That's correct. Yeah.
Super coil. Do-do-do. Super conduit coil.
Super conduit coil.
So how many lightning coils do you own? Because isn't that like a mono black staple?
Is lightning coil a mono black staple?
Yeah.
Is lightning coil the card from
Mirrodin? Mirrodin, if you don't know how to pronounce that.
What if I do know how to pronounce it, but I decide that I don't want to pronounce it correctly?
Strictly. That also applies?
So that I can... I own one of these cards. I was looking it up. I was stalling for time. I own one of these cards.
Okay.
I play it in Shire. She's his caretaker.
You want those 3/1 hasters?
I usually just sacrifice him to Ashnot's Altar and then Torment of Hailfire people's faces for like 100.
Their faces are tormented.
Yeah, they really are.
I used to call it Hellfire, but then I actually read the card and it was Hailfire.
Yes.
And I was confused.
I mean, I think it works for both.
I mean, I guess.
But I don't know if they're supposed to use
Hellfire sounds
the HE double hockey
much
stick
more
word.
Demonic, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Which Bolas is not.
But he's on the card.
And he owns Liliana's demonic contract.
He did.
Now he don't.
Now he did.
He not did. He's just in timeout with his brother, Eugene.
Well, to shorten this explanation, he did. All right. I got none. I got nothing left. I'm tapping out.
All right. That's it for hot takes. So, I guess that's it for the episode this week.
Already?
I don't have any more subjects unless you do.
No, I don't. Well, anyway, if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Twitter, except for Mike Coyle.
You can't find me yet. I'll make something.
He'll just make a picture of himself and have Andy post it. Anyway, you can find me, Brian, at Ballerman Cometh, and Andy at AT Flory on Twitter. Also, take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posted in episodes. I'd like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about, and we'll address them on the next episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com.
Please come at us with suggestions for Commander Two-Headed Giant Broken Staples. We're racking our head around this, and we can't find good answers.
Good answers or just good?
Good card. Like Simic Symmetry? Simic Symmetry. No. Scheming Symmetry.
Scheming, there you go. You got there.
Scheming Symmetry. Super good card in Two-Headed Giant.
Well, yeah.
Think of other ones for us. And tweet at us at BallerManCometh and AT Flory.
Not at
and,
Mike Coyle.
And Guardian Project Pod.
At Mike Lightning Coyle. Boom. Twitter handle.
I'll have one.
Anyway, they're signing off. Bye.
Bye.
What'd you think, Ryan? Was it good?
What's your favorite magic card, Ryan? And don't say Hogak. You just say any phrase, remember?
Say happily Hakuna Matata.
Ever after. Happily ever after.
Say Hakuna Matata.
It's the first episode without Andy. Good job, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we did okay.
Well done.
It wasn't terrible, right?